We're holding in Yaakov on Eruvin, page Tes Zayin, Oischof Tes. Continuing on the topic of learning Torah, which this whole sugya of Agadta has been about, Omer Rav Chista ena Torah niknis ela b'simon. Rav Chista says that the Torah is acquired, you learn and retain Torah only through simon. Like we have throughout Shas, where the Gemara will say a simon with the initials of something or something like that, that helps you retain it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, sima b'fihem. So before we quoted the pasuk yesterday, we learned and quoted the pasuk sima b'fihem, which Rabbi Akiva had said meant that you have to make sure it's sdura b'fihem, that what you're teaching the people has to be something that they can repeat over well without having to resort to svarim. So now a different drasha from the word sima is altikus sima ela simona. So read the word as if it said simona. In fact, Marsha points out that you actually have the word, the shirdash simon, we actually find already enough. We find them in Sefer Yeshayahu. And you often find in shoshim and Lashon Kodesh, often a nun can drop out. So therefore, the word simona can very well become sima, as far as the fact that it's a sin. Okay, sin and samach sound the same, so that's fine. So you see that you have to make simonim, and that's how you'll retain Torah. Shomer Rab Tachlifa b'Ma'arav. Rab Tachlifa heard, actually in the printed Gemaras, instead of here in Yaakov, it's Mima'arav, meaning that Rab Tachlifa was from the west, meaning from Eretz Yisrael. So he heard this vert of Rav Chista's. Ozel Omer Kameid Rab Abohu, and he went and told it over to Rab Abohu, who was one of the senior Amiroyim in Eretz Yisrael. Omar, Rav Abohu says, Atun mehosim masnisula, you, Chachamim in Bavel, are learning it from that pasuk. Sima b'fihem, and we agree with the concept, but we learn it from a different pasuk. Anan mehocha masninim la, we in Eretz Yisrael learn the same concept from a different pasuk. In Navi, Hatsibi loch tziyunim v'gomer, where the Navi says to the Jewish people, make for yourselves signposts. So just the simple meaning of the pasuk, because the Navi is saying that now you're going to be going out into Golos, but you're going to be returning to Eretz Yisrael. So make yourself signposts, like so to speak, so you can find the way back. But we also understand that it means make yourself signposts in Torah. So it means asut tziyunim la Torah. So make signposts in order to remember the Torah. Or my mashma the height tziyun lushna de simonu. Where do we see the word tziyun refers to a marker like that? Dichtiv, as you have the pasuk in Yechezkel when it describes about the aftermath of Milchemes Gog u'Magog, when you're going to have bodies of the invading armies scattered all over the place. So the pasuk describes how they're going to go and take them, or we have an aftorah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, because it says in Midrashim that that's when the war of Gog u'Magog is supposed to take place. Anyway, so it says over there that you're going to have people going and burying all the bodies. And then it says, suppose there's some people are still going to be going and searching to see if there's anything left over. The raw etzem adam, if somebody sees a human bone, uvana etzle tzion, then he'll build a little marker by it until people can come, until the people in charge can come and take it to be buried with all the other bodies over there in the area that's designated for it. The point is that we see a tzion. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere learns from this, the halacha, that you're required back in the time in Eretz Yisrael when they had to be careful with Tumah Vatara, you're required to mark kvarim and things like that where there are sources of Tumah so that koyanim don't become tameh and so Tumah doesn't become tameh and so forth. That's actually learned from this pasuk. Anyway, the point is we see a tzion as a marker, so the same way, therefore, the same way hasibi loch tziyunim means make for yourselves markers in Torah so you don't forget. Rabbi Eliezer or Elazar Amar Mehacha, you have a third pasuk that expresses the same point. Umoida labina tikra, the pasuk says, the first half of the pasuk is emor lachochma achosiot, say to wisdom, the wisdom of Torah, you're my sister. And in other places, the Gemara Darshins from that, Marsha brings that it means that you have to know Torah well enough, you have to know a din well enough that it should be as clear and obvious to you as the fact that your sister is also to you. So now the second half of the pasuk continues. How do you go about doing that? Umoida la bina tikra, the pasuk continues, make bina your moida. Now in the simple sense, moida means your relative, like you have in Megillas Rus, or the nami moida la isha, that there was a relative of theirs named Boaz. But here we're understanding it means asay moidoi ma Torah, means make ways by which to know the Torah. So how are you going to have emel chokma chosiyot? By making moidoim, by making things by which you'll know and remember the Torah, meaning the simonim by which you'll remember the Torah. So far we have three different drushes of this idea of how we know you have to make simonim for the Torah. Rav or Rava Omar, Rav or Rava says a different explanation of that last one. Moida Labina Tikra means I say Moya Dim La Torah. Means you can take the word Moida and switch around the letters in it to make the word Moi'i, which we often have that. There are words in Lashon Kodesh that you have that, that are where that kind of thing is regularly done. The word Keves, for example, a sheep, is often switched around to Kesev. Salma and Simla, they both mean the same thing, but with the order, with the letters switched around. So the same way Rav or Rava is saying over here, the word Moida can be understood, Maloshin Moi'ed, fixed times for learning Torah. So in other words, it actually says, make sure for your Talmidim, they have fixed scheduled times. That way they'll know to come and learn at those times. And that way it'll be, that way you'll be able to teach it and they'll be able to remember it. Vahainu de Omer Rav Dimi, or Rav Dimi, Bar Choma, Bar Doisa, Mai Dichtiv, Loi Bashamayim Hi. Now Rashi explains this next piece that we're going to say over here about Loi Bashamayim Hi and so forth. Rashi says it refers to, it's still continuing on this topic of making simonim. You have to have various strategies in order to remember that, in order to remember and retain the Torah. So that fits with what Rav Dimi is going to tell us, that you have to put in that even. If the Torah was in Shemayim, you would have to go up to find it over there, therefore indicating you have to put in a lot of effort into learning Torah. And one of those ways of making the effort is, as we said, to make simonim for it. On the other hand, Maharsha says it doesn't necessarily have to be referring back only to this last thing. It can actually be referring back to everything that we've been saying in the sugya so far about how a person has to review his learning and so forth. So now you have, in other words, he's going to stress the point that you see how important it is to review your learning. Because otherwise it's very difficult to retain, and otherwise you're going to end up forgetting it, because the Torah is very deep and you may not fully understand it and retain it. Anyway, so he says, so the Pasuk says the Torah is not in Shemayim and it's not across the sea. So that means Loiba Shemayim, the Torah is not in Shemayim, in the sense, Sheimba Shemayim he had the Torah been in Shemayim, Atat Sorich Lala Sacharel, then you would be obligated to go up to Shemayim in order to find it over there. But it's not. It's beficha levav chalasoisa, and therefore, but the point is, you still have to put in a lot of effort. V'loy me'eva layom hi, she me'eva layom hi, if it was across the sea, atat sorech laver achareha, then you would have to cross the sea in order to find the Torah. So Maharsha explains like this. There's two basic reasons why a person might think that he doesn't, that he's not cut out for learning Torah. It might be because the topic itself is very difficult, or it might be because he doesn't have the head for it. So therefore, so we're saying, the Torah is saying, no, loy niflaisi mimcha, the Torah is not too wondrous and removed from you. So don't think that you don't have the head for it. Don't think of v'loy rechoika, he don't think that it's too far away as and it's too deep for anybody to comprehend. And then it continues, loy b'shamayim hi. So if it was in Shemayim, you would have to go up after it, and you can't, because how can a person physically go up to Shemayim? So it means, in other words, don't think that the Torah is something too great to comprehend, like what's in space beyond, like what's in outer space. No, it's not like that. And then don't think that you're too small to understand it. That we compare to it being across the world, where again, you know, you're physically able to get there, unlike outer space where you can't get there at all. At least the end of the earth, in principle, you could get there, but it's a very long journey. So nevertheless, though, the Pasuk is telling you, don't think you have to do that. So don't think that it's too much, that you're not great enough to understand it. So that's the point. In other words, again, according to Rashi, therefore, was stressing, nonetheless, even though it's true, you don't have to go up to Shemayim and you don't have to go across the sea, nevertheless, you do have to put in a lot of effort, and that includes making some money. And according to Maharsha, the point is, in general, therefore, you have to be careful to review your learning over and over, as we've been talking about the last couple of days, and realize it's not something that you're going to retain that easily. Continues the Gemara, Rava, Omar, Yad Yosef brings yet another gift, Sir of Yochanan. Anyway, another explanation of Loi Bashamayim Hi, V'loi Me'eva Layom Hi. Loi Bashamayim Hi means Loi Timtza B'mishamak Bia Daite Aleach Shamayim. You will not find the Torah among people who make their minds as high about it as the Shamayim, meaning their Bale Gaiba. So you won't find the Torah among Bale Gaiba. You'll find it among people who are humble. You won't find Torah among people who consider their mind as broad as the ocean to be able to learn the Torah. Which means, Maharsha says, The one who might be a dieter, he thinks he doesn't need to learn from a Rebbe at all. The one who thinks that the one who marchiv dieter alei kayam, he imagines that okay, I have to learn from a Rebbe, but I don't need to review it. I don't need to review it. It's enough. I learned it from my Rebbe, and that's good enough. I'm smart enough that I'll retain it. And therefore, we're saying that no, you won't. That's not the case. And another explanation, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Loi B'Shamayim Hi Loi Timotze B'Gasei HaRuach. So the Loi B'Shamayim Hi is, like we just said, it means you won't find the Torah among the Gasei HaRuach, among the Balei Gaiva. But V'Loi Me'Evel Ayom Hi has a different twist. Loi Timotze B'Sachronim V'Loi B'Tagrim. You won't find the Torah, knowledge of Torah, among the Sachronim, which are business people and merchants who travel from one city to another, or Tagrim, peddlers who go around within the city itself. So Rashi refers back to, we had earlier in the sugya, that the Gemara had compared a Talmud Chacham has to be like a necklace. A necklace, when you wear it, the whole necklace is not always visible. Many times it's covered up by a person's chin, and if he's a man, then also his beard. So the same way, a Talmud Chacham, we said before, has to be nira ve'ena nira. He should be he'll be sometimes in the street, but it's not his regular place. His regular place is in the Beis Medrash. So here we're saying the same kind of thing that we learn from the Potik, that when people are like Sachronim or Tagrim, who are always traveling across the ocean or to other places like that, they're not the kind of people who are going to have the great knowledge of Torah. You're going to find it among the people who mostly sit in the Beis Medrash. Okay. Further on, the Gemara starts talking about the point, maybe we'll leave this for tomorrow. Pass the shem. Okay, let's start on Hilchos Beis on Yechezkel then. We are holding in Yechezkel, Perek Mem, Pasuk Chaf Gim. So far Yechezkel has described for us the eastern gate of the Chotzer Achitzoino, which is the Ezras Noshim. Then, and he described that whole complex with all the details, with all the toyim and everything that you can see at the bottom of the first picture over there. You have that layout. Then he started describing. That you have he described in Pasuk Chof of Aleph of Beis. He described the northern gate of the same chotzer, of the chotzer achitzoina, which is laid out exactly the same way. Now he's going to start talking about, now that he mentioned the gates on those sides of the chotzer achitzoina, now he's going to start talking about the gates on the inner chotzer, which is the Ezras Noshim and Ezras Kohen, the Ezras Yisrael and Ezras Kohenim. We can call it generically, as the Mitzvot David does, Ezras An Noshim, as opposed to Ezras Noshim. So Pasuk Chof Gimel, v'shayar l'chotzer apnimi neged ashayar l'tzofen v'lakodim. There were gates for the inner chotzer opposite the respective gates on the north and on the east. By Yomer Mishayar l'shayar me'er amma, each time he measured there's 100 amas of space between one gate and the one opposite it. So in the top picture over there, you have that at the bottom of that picture is the gate for the outer chotzer. At the top of it is the gate for the inner chotzer, for the Ezras Anoshim, and the space between the walls, the total space of that where it's labeled outer courtyard, chotzer achitzoina, is 100 amos. In 100 amos in height, that is, and along the height of the paper. The total width of the chotzer as it comes out from the psukim is around 300 amos. You have approximately 100 amos for the, he's going to describe later, the chotzer aknimi, the Ezras Anoshim, is 100 by 100 amos. Then you have the walls and the rest of the gate complexes and whatever around them. Then you have 100 amos on the north and on the south till the wall of the Ezras Anoshim. So that gives you 300 amos in that direction. A little more than 300 amos, and the same thing from east to west. Also, you have a little more than 300 amos because you have the 100 amos space between the gates, and then you have the heichal itself is 100 amos long, and you have a space behind it. It comes out, according to Rashi's and Mitzudas's description, that, and this is how also the Tosfos Yomtov, when he drew it in Surah Sabayis, which in turn is what Art Scroll's diagram is based on, the Chotzer Achitzoina, the Ezras Noshim, is not perfectly square. It's a few amos more from east to west than it is from north to south. Therefore, Mitzudas points out that the eastern gate is exactly in the middle of its wall, but the northern and southern gates, since they have to be exactly opposite the ones of the Ezras Anoshim, then they can't be exactly in the middle of the wall of the Ezras Anoshim, because then they'd be offset by a few amas. So of necessity, then it's a little bit offset in the wall. So it continues, Pasuk Kof Daled, Vayelicheni Derech HaDorim, he took me to the south side, V'hine Shar Derech HaDorim, and here there's a gate in the Chotzer HaChitzoyna on the southern side. Umadet Ela Ve'elam of Kamidah Sa'ela, and he measured its pillars and its hallways, like the measurement of the other two gates that we talked about, of the Chotzer HaChitzoyna that we talked about so far. There were windows in the gate complex in the Toyim, like we said before, as well as in the hall, in the halls for them, saviv, all around, just like the windows that there were on the eastern gate, and the same thing, and it was the same size, 50 amas long, which Rashi said earlier meant the height of the gates, and 25 amas wide, which we said was the width of that open area between the Toyim, as well as the first wall on either side. That's it's all covered by a canopy or something like that, or a roof or something like that, and that's 25 amas wide. He continues, Malas Shiva Eloisav. By the way, Rashi points out over here, the word over here, kehachalonas ha'ela, is a little bit unusual. Usually it'd say kachalonas in Lashon Kodesh, you know, when you have a hey hayadiyah and you have another prefix before it, then usually the patach, or the comet sometimes, of the hey hayadiyah goes into the previous letter. But here instead it's written out, and therefore we darshin that it means Lashon keha, just like we have by tefillin, yod cha is yad keha, the same way over here, it means weak. So we talked about yesterday or the day before when the Pasuk first mentioned the chaloinim atumos, that it means that they're narrow on the inside and wide on the outside to show that the light of the Beis Mikdash spreads out to the whole world. So the same way over here, it's written kaha chaloina se'ela, again to hint at that point that these windows are weak in the sense that they're made differently than normal windows. They don't, on the face of it, they bring in only a weak light, but in reality, all the light comes from within there because it's all part of the Beis Mikdash. Anyway, Pasuk Chaf Vav, Malas Shiva Eloisav. There are seven steps over there, just like he described by the gate on the north side. So the eastern gate, it hadn't given a number of steps. And Rashi said over there that it was 12 steps like he had in the Bayis Sheni. But on the north and the south side, it specifically says there are seven steps. The Pashtus, we would have to understand, according to Rashi, that the slope of the mountain is different on different sides, and therefore you need a different number of steps. Anyway, he continues, Ve'elam of Lifnehem, the hallways for these gates are each in front of them, just like by the eastern gate, the hallway sticks into the Chotzer HaChitzoyna, into the Ezras Anoshim, again, for the reason, because then that way since you have the other gate opposite it with the Ulam sticking outward, as you would usually expect it to, then it looks very aesthetically pleasing with one opposite the other. And again, it has these date palm shaped capitals on the pillars on each side on top of the pillars, like we said, like we learned yesterday, that at the end those oval shaped pillars that are at the end of each of the ulamos, they're 60 amas tall, we said, and each one has a date palm shaped capital on the top of it. Now he starts talking about the inner gates. So the inner gates, meaning the gates of the Ezras Anoshim, are basically like the Ezras Noshim, with a couple of important differences as well. So if you look at the top of that, diagram, you'll notice two major differences. One is because the ulam of those sticks out. Now you consider with the Chotzer HaChitzoyna, the order you have is you've got the stairs at the bottom, then you've got the open area with the toyim on each side of it, then you've got it narrows to the 10 amas of the actual gateway, then it widens out a little bit, and you have that slightly wider space, which we said before is 13 amas wide, and earlier pasuk is the ulam is the hallway of it. So you've got the open area versus the ulam are on two different sides of the gate. When it comes to the Chotzer HaPnimi, though, when it comes to the Ezras Anoshim, the toyim are also at the six toyim, the six square toyim over there, are also outside the wall. The thick line that you have at the top over there that has two long, skinny, white areas in it, which we'll talk about soon in the Pesukim, that's the actual wall of the Ezras Yisrael. So you have some Toyim are outside of it, and the Ulam is also outside of it. So therefore, so the layout is a little bit different. You've got the gate itself, 10 amas wide, then it widens to that 15 amma wide area in front of the Toyim, and then it narrows a little bit to 13 amas, and you have the Ulam, as opposed to, again, by the other one, where you've got 15, then 10, then 13. Here it's 10, then 15, then 13. So a slightly different arrangement. So he continues, Pasuk Chof Zayin, V'shar l'chotzer apnimi derech hador. So now he's already on the south side of the Beis Hamikdash. He was just shown the southern gate of the Chotzer Achitzoina. So now he goes and looks at the gate of the Chotzer Apnimi on the south side. And again, by Yomim Mishar Al Shar Derech Hadorim Meya Amos. And he measured that it's 100 Amos from the gate of the Chotzer Achitzoina to the gate of the Chotzer Apnimi. So again, this space over here is 100 Amos. So pasuk kofches by the any el chotzer apnimi b'shar adorim. So he brought me into the chotzer apnimi, the ezras anoshim, using the southern gate. By yomer as a shar adorim tamidus eila, and he started measuring that southern gate with his measuring stick over there, with his measuring stick and his measuring rope, like we learned at the beginning of the perek. He started measuring those, and they were all the same measurements as the ones we said so far. Pasuk of Tes, the saw of the Elo Ve'elam of Kamidas Ha'Ela, the six toyim and the pillars and the hallways are all the same size. The Chalonis Le'elam of Sabiv, and it has windows. The windows and its hallways have windows all around, and it's the same size. Chamishim Amos Odach, 50 Amos in height. V'roich of Esrim V'chamish Amos and 25 Amos wide. Now, here we have another twist, though, with the Chotzer HaPnimi that we didn't have with the Chotzer HaChitzon. So he continues, Pasuk Lamed, Ve'elamos Saviv Saviv. Now, in addition, you also have hallways all around, meaning on each side of each gate. Orech Chomesh Ve'esrim Amos, Ve'roichav Chomesh Amos, 25 Amos long and 5 Amos wide. Those are those white spaces within that top wall that you see over there at the top of the diagram. Those are each 25 amas long and 5 amas wide. Those are unique to the Chotzer HaPnimi, that you didn't have anything like them in the Chotzer HaChitzona. What they're there for, again, he doesn't explain, but we know, for example, in the second Beis Hamikdash, they had rooms that had to be in the Azara, for example, where they prepared the Keturas and the Lacham Aponim and different things like that, things that have to be prepared in the Azara itself, in the place that has the highest level of Kedusha rather than the Ezras Nashim. So B'pashtus, I guess these various long, skinny 25 by 5 rooms are meant for those kinds of purposes, the Lacham Aponim and the Keturas and other such things like that that have to be made in the Azara. In this diagram, by the way, apparently when they made the diagram, they forgot to draw doorways for them. The bottom diagram has them correct. So Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Rashi, by the way, points out, when you get down to it, even though it uses the expression Ve'elam Mois Saviv Saviv, there are hallways all around, and it sounds like there are a lot of them, really, if you calculate it, you really find there's only one on each side of each gate, meaning that altogether there are only 6 of them, since the Chotzer HaPnimi has only 3 gates, because each one of them is 25 amas long, and if you think about it, the whole Chotzer HaPnimi is 100 by 100 amas. You have the gate itself is 10 amas wide, and then you only have 50 amas on each, you only have 45 amas on each side. So there's no if there's going to be a room in there that's 25 amas long, there's only room for one on each side. Rashi points out, for the same reason, you also can't say that these elamas, that these 25 by 5 rooms, you can't say that they're in the same direction as the toyim, because it wouldn't really fit. There's no room for them over there. So it has to necessarily be the toyim are on the outside and those rooms are on the inside, facing towards the inside of the azar. The Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Elam of the Chotzer HaChitzona, the hallways, meaning the part with the two pieces of wall sticking out over there with the round pillars at the end, El Chotzer HaChitzona, they face towards the outer Chotzer, where again, here we have the difference where by the outer Chotzer they face in, and by the inner Chotzer they face outward, and that way it looks nicer. The Simodim al-Elov, and again, it has the same date palm-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, Umalas Shmoina Mailov. The the number of steps on the shar on the shar chotzer apnimi is 8. So so far we had it didn't say how many there were for the eastern side for the chotzer achitzona, and Rashi said it was 12. On the north and south for the chotzer achitzona, it said clearly in the pasuk 7. Now you have to get from there to the Ezras Anoshim, you've got 8 steps. But for comparison, in the second Beis Hamikdash, you had from the Chael to the Ezras Anoshim, you had 12 steps. And then from the Ezras Anoshim to the Ezras Anoshim, you had 15 steps. Since the Mishnah tells us each step is half an amma tall, so it means, in other words, there was 6 ammas more of elevation from the Har HaBayis, from the Chael particularly, till the Ezras Noshim, and then another 7.5 ammas to the Ezras Yisrael. Here, on the other hand, what we're saying is it's 6 ammas and then six ammas on the east, and less 3.5 ammas on the other side. We have 7 steps each, and then 4 ammas difference in elevation from the Ezras Noshim to the Ezras Anoshim. Then he brought me into the chotzer apnimi by way of the east. So in other words, he didn't cross, having gone in through the southern gate into the chotzer apnimi. He didn't just cut across the corner over here to go to the shire of chotzer apnimi. Instead, he went out and went around. Later on in Perek Mem Vav, Yechezkel brings that when you're coming to visit the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Tovim, you're not supposed to go out the same gate that you came in. Instead, you're supposed to cross the full width of the Azara and go out the other side. So here, on the other hand, where the Malach is, so to speak, only giving them a tour, then he goes out the same gate and comes in from a different side. And he measured the eastern gate of the Chotzer Apnimi according to the same measure. The same kind of toyim, the same kind of pillars, the same kind of hallways, same measurement as before. There were windows in the toyim and windows in the hallways all around. Again, 50 amas the height of the gate and 25 amas the width of the canopy or whatever over the gate and covering the walls on the two sides. The ulam of each of that gate, the hallway of it that sticks out, faced towards the chotzer achitzona. The simodim al elav mipoyim mipoy. There are date palm capitals on the pillars on each side. Oshmona malas milav, and you have 8 steps over there, just like you had on the south. So unlike with the chotzer achitzona, where Rashi is telling us you have a different number of steps. On the east versus the other sides, here with the Chotzer Apnimi, saying that all of them are the same number. Next, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Vayvieni al Shar HaTzofen, then he brought me to the northern gate. Here he doesn't say that he brought me into the Chotzer, so here it may mean that after examining the eastern gate, maybe he just cuts across the corner over there. And if you look in the bottom diagram, I blew up that corner of the Azara, because further on, in a few psukim, he's going to be describing extra things that you had by that northern gate and by that eastern gate that you don't have elsewhere. So maybe what we're saying is instead of going out through the eastern gate, which is at the bottom of the page, and going in through the northern one, maybe this time you just cut across diagonally over there directly to the northern gate. Anyway, Umadat Kamida Sa'ela, and he did the same kind of measurements. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Ta'av Elo Ve'elamav, it had the same kind of toyim, the same kind of pillars, and the same kind of hallways, V'chalonis Lo Saviv Saviv, and the same windows all around, Oda Chamishim Amma, V'roth of Chamish V'asrim Amma, the same 50 Amma height and 25 Amma width, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, V'elov L'chotzer Achitzona, the pillars of it stick out towards the Chotzer Achitzona, V'simodim El Elov Mipoyim Mipoy, there are date palm shaped capitals on the pillars on both sides, Oshmona Malas Malav, and there were 8 steps leading up to there. Now that he's described all 6 gates that we dealt with, the 3 of the Chotzer Achitzona and the 3 of the Chotzer Apnimi, now we start talking about things that are in the Ezras Anoshim itself. So now we can start referring to the bottom diagram over there, which will illustrate this. He said, "Uvelishka upis ufischa be'elim hasha'arim." Then he sees there's a chamber there with its opening facing towards the doorposts of the gates. Meaning, in other words, this is on the north side of the Azara, and it's facing, and it's built in such a way that's that C-shaped chamber that you have right next to the Mizbeach over there. It's facing towards the north. And it's made in such a way that its doorposts exactly face towards the doorpost of that gate, and in turn then also to the gate of the Chatzar HaChitzonim, which is 100 amas further in that direction. That room, that chamber, is the Beis HaMikvachayim. That is in the second Beis HaMikdash that you had there, that was where you had the taboris, you had the rings fixed into the ground over there that they would put the animal's neck, according to Rashi, or the animal's legs, according to the Rambam, in it when they were shechting it. And there you also have the tables and the hooks he's going to describe in a couple of psukim. So this chamber is the Beis HaMikvachayim of the third Beis HaMikdash. Or at least part of it, as he's going to go on to say, you have tables in that doorway over there where the actual shechting would take place, so that whole gate complex on the north side is kind of an extension of the Azara. So he continues in Pasuk Lamed Ches, Shom Yodichu Es Ha'Ola, in that C-shaped room is where they wash the parts of the Ola. You have in the Psukim, in Parshas Vayikra, it describes after they shecht and do the zrika and everything, then they strip off the skin of the animal, they cut it up into pieces, and then you have to wash out the kishkis and the legs with water. In the second Beis Mikdash, there was a room for that purpose called Lishka Samadichim. So here, Yechezkel is describing this Lishka that we're showing over here, this C-shaped Lishka facing towards the gate. That is where that's going to take place in the third Beis Mikdash, where they're going to wash out the filth out of the kishkes and off the legs before they offer them on the Mizbeach. He continues, Pasuk Lamed Tes, Ulam Ashar, within the hallway of the gate, Shnaim Shulchanes Mipoy, Shnaim Shulchanes Mipoy. You have two tables on each side. So it's a little bit small. You may have to look a little more carefully to see. But if you look within the wide area over there by the Toyim, there are four tables, two on each side. So here, and here. So this wide area over here is the Ulam HaShaarim. So in that area over there, you have four tables, two on each side. Lishchet Aleihem, and what are they for? Lishchet Aleihem HaOla V'Achatas V'Asham, the Ola and Chatas and Asham, which are all Kodshim, which have to be shechted on the north side of the Azara, are all going to be shechted there. So now it's interesting because in the second Beis Mikdash you have, well, you don't necessarily have this whole gate complex, but you consider, given that in this diagram, the actual wall of the Azara is this over here. So that means these tables, these four tables, and the other four tables that he's going to describe in the next passage, are all really outside the wall of the Ezras Anoshim. On the face of it, you shouldn't be able to shecht over there. You can't shecht outside the Azara. But here, Yechezkel is telling us that that's not how it's going to be. In the third Beis Mikdash, all that area is considered an extension of the Ezras Anoshim, and it has the same kedusha as it, and therefore you're able to shecht. Therefore, you're able to shecht kodshim kodshim over there.
So
the Beis Hamikdash also Chatzi Chayil. So the Beis Hamikdash was Chatzi Chayil and Chatzi, right? But here, apparently, Yechezkel was saying that this entire complex of this gate over here is going to be Kulei Kodesh, and therefore there's no problem to shecht in there. And the Malbim, in fact, has an explanation. He explains Lushitosa, that there's kind of a wall around that area. He explains some of the earlier psukim to be something along those lines, so that it's actually walled in. It has a wall that's kind of an extension of the Ezra Sanoshim, and therefore it's actually considered part of that Azara, and you can shecht over there. The way that it's diagrammed over here, on the face of it, there's no wall, but nevertheless, it still has that din. So then he continues, Pasuk Mem, Ve'al HaKosef Michutza, then on the two sides, on the outside, La'oila L'fesach HaShara Tzapayna, as you're about to walk up the stairs to the entrance of the northern gate, so this is the second set of tables that you have in the diagram over there, in that ulam, in that 13 amma wide area that faces towards the Chatzar HaChitzonim, before you even go up the steps, you have four more Shnayim Shulchanos. You have on one side there are two tables, and on the other side facing it, also in that ulam, in that hallway, also Shnayim Shulchanos. You have another two tables. So altogether, in that whole gate complex, you have eight tables. And he summarizes in Pasuk Mem Aleph, Abar Shulchanis Mipoy, Abar Shulchanis Mipoy. So there are four tables on one side of you and four on the other side. L'chesef Ashar, by the sides of the gate. Shmona Shulchanis Aleihem Yishchotu. Eight tables where they can shecht the korbanos. And Pasuk Mem Beis, he says, Va'arba shulchanos la'ola avnei gozis. In addition, there are another four tables for the Ola and for the other korbanos as well. These other tables that we're talking about are made of cut stones. So the first eight tables that he described, he didn't say what they were made out of. These new four tables, he's saying, or maybe he means four of these tables, maybe he means four of these eight tables. Anyway, of them, four of them are made of, so four tables of Avnei Gozis. Each one is 1.5 by 1.5 amas. The Gova Amma Echos, and it's 1 amma tall. Alehem v'yanichu es hakelim asher yishchad v'asa ola bom v'hazavach. On those tables, they place the kelim, meaning the knives with which they're going to shech the olos and the other korbanos. So they have tables that are meant for the shchita, and then they also have tables that are meant to put the kelim, to put the knives on, to be ready for when they do the shchita. And Pasuk Mem Gimel Vashfatayim, then you have hooks. Toifach Echad, the hooks are one tefach long, Muchonim Babayis Saviv Saviv. They're prepared inside that building, inside that C-shaped lishka. You have hooks all around, Saviv Saviv all around, because they would hang up the animal on that in order to strip off the skin, as described in Psachim and in various other places. And on the tables is where they would put the meat of the korban. In particular, that's why we said the tables are made out of Avnei Gozis. They're made out of stone for the same reason. In the second Mesmethesh, they're made out of marble because that helps keep the meat cool. So that way it won't spoil as fast. If you had metal tables, metal conducts heat very well, and therefore that would cause the korbanos to spoil faster. And even though, we haven't Pirkei Avos lo yisriach b'sara kodesh ma'olam, nevertheless, we don't depend on nisim, and we do things wherever possible. I'll be derech atem. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola, of Beis Tammuz. La'osid Lavoi, it says, the Marashah brings in Megillah, La'osid Lavoi, the Beis Mikdash, will be as large as your Shalayim nowadays, because your Shalayim that will be built in the future will be joined together with the Beis Mikdash, and all the places, all the shuls that were in the pre-Mashiach world are all going to be joined to it. So that means, in other words, it ever talks about, so you have all the shuls in all the Eretz Ha'amim, all the Mikdash Ma'at, are all going to be joined to the Beis Mikdash, and how that's going to be is going to depend on the level of the respective shuls. So you have, there are certain shuls, for example, that ever talks about Beis Rabbeinu Shem Bavel, about 770, that have a greater mila relative to other shuls. So those will be the first ones to be joined to the Beis Mikdash, and they will also be joined directly to it without any space in between. And through them, all the other Batei Knesiyos that come from everywhere else in Chutz La'aretz will be joined in turn with them. Halacha, we started talking about Tfilas HaDerech. You say Tfilas HaDerech only if you're going to be traveling at least a parasa. If you're going to be traveling less than that, then the Alter Rebbe says, don't finish with Hashem's name unless it's a Mokum Muchsak Pesakona, then you can say it even less than a parasa. There is a Machloikas Aposkim, whether it means a parasa in distance or a parasa in the amount of time. Walking a parasa takes 72 minutes, so does it mean that you only say it if the trip is 72 minutes long, or does it mean you say it if you're only physically traveling a parasa, which is about 2.5 or 3 miles? Anyway, l'chatchila, you should say it during the first parasa. If you forget, you can say it any time on the road, as long as you're not within the last parasa before the city where you're going to be staying. If you do, then at that point, you say it without a bracha.